When the question began to be discussed as to what should be our next step, the very first thing we decided was that Mina should be in full confidence, that nothing of any sort, no matter how painful, should be kept from her. She herself agreed as to its wisdom, and it was pitiful to see her so brave and yet so sorrowful and in such a depth of despair. There must be no concealment, she said. Alas, we have had too much already. Besides, there is nothing in all the world that can give me more pain than I have already endured, than I suffer now. Whatever may happen, it must be of new hope or of new courage to me. Van Helsing was looking at her fixedly as she spoke, and said suddenly, but quietly, "My dear Madam Mina, are you not afraid, not for yourself, but for others from yourself, after what has happened?" Her face grew set in its lines, but her eyes shone with the devotion of a martyr as she answered, "Oh, no, for my mind is made up."
"To what?"
he asked gently, while we were all very still, for each in our own way we had a sort of vague idea of what she meant. Her answer came with direct simplicity, as though she were simply stating a fact. "Because if I find in myself, and I shall watch keenly for it, a sign of harm to any that I love, I shall die."
"You would not kill yourself?"
he asked hoarsely. "I would, if there were no friend who loved me, who would save me such a pain and so desperate an effort." She looked at him meaningly as she spoke. He was sitting down, but now he rose and came close to her and put his hand on her head as he said solemnly,
"My child, there is such an one if it were for your good. For myself, I could hold it in my account with God to find such an euthanasier for you, even at this moment, if it were best."
"Nay, were it safe?"
"But my child..."
For a moment he seemed choked, and a great sob rose in his throat. He gulped it down and went on,
"There are here some who would stand between you and death. You must not die. You must not die by any hand, but least of all by your own, until the other who has fouled your sweet life is true dead. You must not die. For if he is still with the quick undead, your death would make you even as he is. No, you must live. You must struggle and strive to live, though death would seem a boon unspeakable. You must fight death itself, though he come to you in pain or in joy, by the day or the night, in safety or in peril. On your living soul, I charge you that you do not die, nay, nor think of death, till this great evil be past.